We're continuing the Shir in Likutei Halachos, Yoredeya, Chelek Beis. And today we start Hilchos Melamdim, the laws regarding teachers. Halacha Aleph. Rav Nosson Zal quotes the Shulchan Aruch, Chayev Odom Lelamed Levnoi Torah. Every person is obligated to teach their son Torah. V'chein leben benoi, and so too there's an obligation to teach your grandson. So again, this is all things that a person could use in his boidedus. A person says to Hashem, there's aloha, I must teach my son, so you have to give me a son. And I have to live and be healthy to be able to have grandchildren also, because I want to fulfill this mitzvah in the Torah. Shenemar, as the Pasuk says, v'hoidatom levonecho v'levnei vonecho. You will transmit them. You will pass on the das of the Torah to your sons and to your grandsons. Rav Nosson Zal begins, Ki be'emes hamalamed hamuvchor v'hatoiv hu ha'ov libnoi. Rav Nosson Zal says, really, the most preferred teacher would be a father teaching his son. K'maisha Kosov, as the Pasuk says, which in Kriya Shema, V'limadetem oisam es b'neichem, you will teach the words of Torah to your sons. And now Rav Nosson Zal is going to explain why. What's unique in the relationship between father and son that makes that one of the best forms of learning Torah? Ki hamalamed tzorich letzamtzem hasechel v'hachochmo sheroitze lahasbir lahakoton. Rav Nosson Zal starts explaining what benefit, what advantage there is to a father teaching his son Torah over any different teacher. Rav Nosson Zal says there are two issues now. Number one, whenever you're transmitting Torah, Torah is spiritual light. Torah is something that begins from Ein Sof, from infinite. Therefore, Rabbeinu Zal explains in chapter 30 in Likutei Moran that when it comes to teaching Torah, one of the first things you have to realize is you have to be able to be metzamtzem. You have to be able to put boundaries on it, to be able to shrink it down, to bring it down to the level of the one you're teaching to. Because usually, even between the teacher and the student, there could be a vast difference in the levels that they're on. And if the teacher's going to be teaching on his level, then the student isn't going to get anything out of it. So in order to teach Torah, you must have the ability to be metzamtzem, to constrict and shrink the seichel and the chochmah, which you want to explain to the one who's on a lower level, and ulahalbish es haseichel, and to cloak it. Sometimes you have to put it in a parable, you have to dress it up properly for that person to be able to relate to. Again, depending on your audience, depending on who you're talking to, you have to be able to put it in their language, in a terminology that they understand, whether it's mamish vocabulary, or again, you have to talk their language, not just vocabulary. Kedei sheyuchal lovino, in order that the student should be able to understand. Kanira bechush, as we see in real life, we know that there are cases. Again, I remember being in a high school at one time and being in the highest shir in this high school where the Rebbe spoke Yiddish, and I think I was the only one, I and one of the boy in the class understood Yiddish, and there were about 18 students in the class. So you have to picture what kind of joke that was, what kind of silly, nutty thing that was. And it was only because of the seniority that the rabbi had. There were reasons why they didn't want to let that rabbi go or anything. So rather than give him some different, they actually had students in the class who didn't understand Yiddish at all and were there. That's what they did for the year. I'm giving an extreme example, but obviously there are many cases where a teacher doesn't realize how much of a responsibility they have to understand the level of who they're dealing with, who they're teaching, and to be able to understand exactly where those people are at and be able to take the chokhmah, the seichel that you're trying to give over to them and be able to bring it down to them or to bring it down to a place where they can reach up to it at least. And regarding this type of thing, the father has a better chance in doing this for his son than a different person. Why? This is based on something the Arizal says, which we saw, we had this mentioned earlier in the laws of Kibud Avoim. When Rav Nosson Zal was explaining why children have to have respect for parents, he quoted from the Arizal, Ki halavush shel hamoichin nimshach lahaben min ha'ov. Because there's a certain garment for the brain which is given to the child by his daddy, that comes from the father to the son, a certain levush of the moichim, kimavur leil behilchas kibud avayim haloch aleph, as we discussed earlier in Hilchas Kibud Avayim haloch aleph, where Rav Nosson Zal there quoted this from the Arizal, that a father, a parent, a father specifically, provides a certain levush for the moyach of the child. When mishas hatoylado, from the time of birth, v'alkein, and therefore, and we know that levush, garment, means tzimtzum. A garment is always a constriction, a boundary. V'alkein b'chol eis yochol ha'ov lahamshich levushin levnoi lahalbish loy besoichoy hamoichim, and therefore, because of the fact that at the time of birth, daddy gives the son a levush for his moichin, therefore, daddy also has the ability at all times to provide seichel for his children with a levush, with the proper levush, with the proper tzimtzum. Dahainu, ha-toyrah v'ha-chochma shum alamdoi kanal. Again, we're referring to the Torah and knowledge that the parent is giving over. Now, keep in mind, this is one of the factors. This is one major factor. There are other factors in having patience. There's a whole list of requirements as to what a rabbi, what a teacher has to have in order to be qualified to teach. Rav Nosson Zal here is addressing one of the very important issues. And with this, we can also relate to what Rabbeinu Zal tells us in chapter 60 in Likutei Moran, Sheikar ha-hizboinenus mekablim al yedei ashirus ayin shom. Rabbeinu Zal says there that a true, deep understanding of Torah has a prerequisite to it. Has to be preceded by wealth, ashirus, money. Rabbeinu Zal quotes the Mishnah, im ein kemach, ein Torah. If there's no bread, then there's no Torah. Kemach literally means flour, but in the context of that Mishnah, it means parnosa. So Rabbeinu Zal says there, just as the Mishnah says, if you don't have parnosa, then you won't be able to learn Torah, so too, if a person wants hizboinenus ha-Torah, if a person wants a very high level of Torah, that requires a very high level of parnosa. And Rav Nosson Zal says he gives two examples of this. One example is, we know that when the Jews crossed the Red Sea, they were zeicher to a very high level of revelation of Hashem, right? It was accompanied with tremendous wealth, with the bizas hayam, the tremendous wealth that they took from the Egyptians at Kriyas Yamsuf, besides, in addition to what they got when they left Egypt. And Rav Nosson Zal says that was all really a prerequisite for Shavuos, for what took place 50 days later, you know, then when they left Mitzrayim, Matan Torah, which was on the 50th day, which corresponds to Bina. 50 is always the 50 gates of Bina. At Matan Torah was one of the greatest experiences that Klal Yisrael had with Hizboinenus HaTorah. And again, that's why they needed all of that wealth. Rav Nosson Zal asks, what do you mean? There was no Macy's or what's that store on Fifth Avenue? Saks and Fifth Avenue in the desert? Why did they need all of that gold and silver that they took from the Mitzrayim? All of that wealth? Where were they going to spend it? Rav Nosson Zal says that one of the purposes was based on that chapter in the Likutei Moran, Torah Samach, where Rabbeinu Zal says that in order to be zeichet to hizboinenus ha-Torah, it requires ashirus. So now Rabbeinu Zal says, you know why? Ki ashirus hi bechinas levush v'tzimtzum. Because wealth is a spiritual form of garment and constriction for the chachma, for the seichel. Why? Bebechinas, as the pasuk says, mitzofoin zohav yo'asa. Gold comes from the north. The north is the left side. We always picture that we're facing east. The direction we're facing is east. So when you're facing east, north is on your left. Left is always tzimtzum. The left side, the right side is always chesed, poiseach es yodecho, opening your arms wide, opening your storehouses, your warehouses. That's chesed, that's the right side. The left is always a concept of tzimtzum, closed. So money comes from the left side. And money is the tzimtzum. The Torah is referred to usually as the right side. Miminoi esh dos lamoi, the pasuk says. So the Torah requires tzimtzum. The one example of the tzimtzum is parnosa, or wealth. Depending on what level of Torah you're going for, it requires parnosa or wealth to serve as a levush, a tzimtzum for the chachma, for the Torah. Mitzofin zov yosa, shehu sitra de small, which is the left side, shemishom hatzimtzum, where we have constriction. Now, Rab Nosson Zalens, v'ho ashirus hu nachlas ovois. Wealth is usually referred to in the Torah as what a person receives from their parents, from their grandparents. You know, it's heritage. That's what's passed down from, you know, through the family. Kemoshe Kosov, as the pasuk says, bayis vohoin nachlas ovois. A house and wealth are the inheritance, or what we receive from our parents. Kemoshe Kosov Rabbeinu b'maimranal, as Rabbeinu Zal discusses over there in Torah Samach, Ayin Sham, look over there. So therefore, since the bayis vohoin is coming from the parents, that's the tzimtzum, right? So therefore, the parents, the father, has a very good shot at being able to teach the son chachma and Torah, because the tzimtzum is built in by the fact that the father is the one who supports the child. He's the source of parnosa for the child. He's the source of ashirus for the child. Therefore, the tzimtzum is built in right over there automatically. So therefore, through this wealth, which is tzimtzum, which is a levush, which a person receives from their father, through that, the person is also able to receive the hisboinenus from their father. Okay, so Rav Nosson Zal built his proof sort of for this. He showed us how there's a certain natural advantage that the father has in teaching his son over anybody else, because of the fact that Rabbeinu Zal said that in order to receive Torah, you have to have tzimtzum and levushin. You have to have the Rav Nosson Zal showed us from the Arizal that the father is the one who provides the tzimtzum and the levushin to the son. Therefore, the father is prime candidate for being the one to teach his son Torah and Chochmah. V'alkein gam harav nikra'ov. And this is also why even the rabbi is referred to as a father. K'may shekosuv, as we find Elisha Hanavi, when his rabbi was leaving him, when Elianovi was leaving the world, he cried out, Ovi, Ovi, Rechev Yisrael, my father, the chariot of the Jewish people. And as the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, Kol hamelamed laben chaveroi Torah kilu yoldoi, that a person who teaches somebody else's child Torah, it's as if he gave birth to that child. So we see that a rabbi is referred to as a parent. Kimeachar shelimdoi Torah, because since this person is teaching that child Torah, nimtza shem shechloi levush lechachmosai, that teacher had to provide a levush, a garment, for the chachma. He had to provide a tzimtzum for the chachma and seichel that he was giving over to the student. Kibaloi ze EF Shilalamit Kanal, because Rabbeinu Zal told us that unless you provide that garment and that tzimtzum for the Chachma, you can't really give over the Chachma successfully. Nimtza Shehu Aviv Mamish. So therefore, a teacher who is teaching Torah properly is a father, because he's giving the child, he's giving the student exactly what a father is supposed to give. He's giving him the Torah, and he's giving him the garment also. He's giving him the tzimtzum. V'al kein, and therefore, hayoyser toiv she'ovev bi'atzmo yilmoidim b'noi kanal. Therefore, the first choice, the first preference is that the father himself should be the one teaching his son Torah. Ve'im eino yochay lilmoidimoy, if the father can't be the one to teach his son Torah, mechuyev l'shalem schar limud. He is obligated to pay, to be willing to pay money, tuition, to have somebody teach his son Torah. Kama shekosu b'shulchan aruch, as is written in Shulchan Aruch. Kib, person would say, 1 second, what if they want to give it for free? And isn't there something about a rabbi is not supposed to take money for teaching Torah, right? Rav Nosson Zal says that the Shulchan Aruch does mention a concept of schar limud, and it goes into the details of how we reconcile this with what the Gemara says, that Hashem gave the Torah on, for free on Har Sinai, and therefore a rabbi is supposed to teach Torah for free. There's different interpretations. One interpretation is he's being paid for babysitting. Other, all different interpretations that the Gemara and the Halacha give as to how the pay is okay. But here Rav Nosson Zal says clearly, he talks about schar limud, tuition, you know, actual payment for my son being educated. She'al yedei ze zoicha habein lilmoid ulohovin. Through that, the child is zoicha to learn and to understand what he's learning. So that a parent who doesn't pay chas v'shalom, a parent who sends their son to a school and don't pay the tuition, doesn't realize that they're robbing their son of a very important piece, a very important tool that they need to be able to understand the Torah correctly. Because lilmoid lehovin ze bechinas hisboinenus shemekablim al yedei ashirus shehu nach lasavois. Because Rav Nosson Zal says, here you see how both of these items come into play. We said that in order to have proper hisboinenus haTorah, you need ashirus. In order to have proper understanding of Torah and Seichel, you need tzimtzum, keli, of which one example of it is money. The most natural place where that money is found is my parents, my father. That's my source of money from when I'm first brought into the world. If, for whatever reason, my father can't teach me himself, then by him giving money to the yeshiva, to the school, to the rabbi, to the institution, that's how he's providing that malbush, that levush, that tzimtzum, so that when the Torah is being poured into the son, it has the proper tzimtzum that it needs for the son to be able to understand it correctly. So here Rav Nosson Zal explained on a spiritual level what's going on when, you know, when we follow the laws of the Torah. V'chol zeh, and all of this, dahainu ha-hizboinenus im halavush, the understanding of the Torah and the garment that it requires, which is the money, the wealth, which we refer to as nachlas avos, kol ze mekablin min arichus yomim, shu bechinas zokein, bechinas atik, bechinas avud abba, kemavur shama maim ranal, ein sham heitev. Rabbeinu Zal says over there in Likut Imran, how does a person get wealth? How does a person get it? You need arichus yomim. You need long life. You need old age. That's the spiritual item that a person needs as a prerequisite to Ashirus. And Rabbeinu Zal brings the Pasuk in Chumash, V'Avram Zokein Bo Bayomim V'Hashem Beirach Avram Bakoil. Avram Avinu was old, he had come into old age, and Hashem blessed him with everything. So we see the Kesher that the everything, the Ashirus, is tied into Zikna, old age, which is also called Atik, and which is also in that chapter in Likut Imran, Rabbeinu Zal refers to it also as a grandparent, the father of my father, Avu Adaba. So now Rav Nosendal says, "V'ze b'chinas shechayev hazoken lelamed es ben benoy Torah." Now we understand also why there's an obligation on a grandfather to teach his grandchildren Torah. Kihu mesugulo ze b'yoser. Again, because he's a prime candidate for this. He has a tremendous advantage in being able to give over the Torah to the grandchild properly. Why? Ki shoyrish ha-Torah v'ha-hizbeinunus shetzorech ze ha-ben lekabel hum bebechina zokein. Because the source from which this child has to receive Torah from, the Torah has to come from Ashirus, which comes from zokein, which comes from old age. Dahainu avuad abo, which is grandparent. Bechinas atik, which in Kabbalah is referred to as atik. Shemishom shoyresh ha-Torah v'hizbeinus k'nal. That's where the Torah originates from. That's where this hizbeinus originates from. Two flights up, you know, in the place called Atik, in the place called Zokein, in the place called grandfather. V'chein mevur b'mokim acher. And Rav Nosendal says it's also explained in another place in the Likutei Moran, sheshoyresh ha-Torah hi mebechinas Atik. That the source, the origin from which the Torah comes from, is Atik. Ki isa b'divrei Rabbeinu, because Rabbeinu Zal explains in chapter 118, shekol hischachus ha-Torah hu bechinas Moshe Moshiach. That any time a rabbi is zeche to bring forth new thoughts, new ideas, new revelations in Torah, that's an aspect of Moshe Moshiach. As the pasuk says in beginning of creation, v'ruach elokim merachefes al pnei amoyim, a heavenly spirit rested on the water. Do rucho de Moshiach. The Zohar Kodesh says this refers to the spirit of Moshiach. V'hamayim hu bechinas haTorah, and we know that water always represents Torah. Ayin shom, look over there in Torah Kuf Yud Ches in Likutei Moran, where Rabbeinu Zal expounds on this. U'Moshiach hu bechinas atik. We know that the Sifrei Kabbalah tell us that Moshiach is the concept of atik. He's plugged in over there, upstairs, in that grandparent address. Kamei Shekosov, as the pasuk says, I believe in Daniel, V'ad atik yoimen moto. That pasuk is referring about the coming of Moshiach, and it associates it with this term atik yoimen, which is that old age. Just like when Hashem appeared to the Jews on Har Sinai at Matan Torah, it says he appeared to the Jews as an old man full of kindness. Nimtza sheshoyresh ha-Torah hi mebechinas atik. So therefore, the origin of the Torah, the source from where the Torah originates from, is atik. Hainu bechinas Moshiach. V'ze shom Rabbi Senuzal, and this is why the Gemara says, kol mi shehu Talmud Chacham, u'benoi Talmud Chacham, u'ben benoi Talmud Chacham, any person who is zeiche, that he's a Talmud Chacham, his son is a Talmud Chacham, and his grandson is a Talmud Chacham, shuv ein ha-Torah poisekes mizaroi. The Torah will not leave that family. Once they lock it in, three consecutive generations in a row are Talmud Chachamim, then the Torah will continue with Hashem's help to all their future generations. Upirish ha-Toisvis. Toisvis over there in the Gemara adds, v'hu sheroyin zeh. This is on condition that all three see each other, that the grandson gets to see the grandfather, that all three of these are living at the same time and get to see each other. Kizehu kiyum haTorah b'shleimus, because this is fulfillment of the Torah on the highest level. Shezoiche haben b'noi lekabel haTorah mishoroshoi dainu b'chinas zokin b'chinas atikanal. When the grandson is zoicha to receive Torah from the source of Torah, which is Zokein, Atik, Grandpa. V'alkein kol b'chinas ha-Torah mishuleshes. And this is why the Gemara comments in a few places that we find that everything about the Torah comes in threes. The Gemara says in Shabbos Taf Peches, Brich Rachmona, K'mo Yishomra Senezal, Brich Rachmona de'yoev lon oiraisat lisoi, La'amt lisoi, aliyat lisoi. Blessed is Hashem who gave us a triple Torah to a triple nation, through the third person, referring to the Torah being Torah Nevi'im Ksuvim, a nation of three, Kohanim, Levi'im, Yisraelim, and it was given to us through Moshe Rabbeinu, who was the third child in his family, Miriam, Aaron, Moshe, v'chulu v'chulu. Ki mishom hishtalshelus ha-Torah, because that's where the Torah spirals down from, mibechina mishuleshes, from a triage, from a three, dahinu hazokein, v'ho'ov, v'haben, from these three levels, grandfather, father, and son. And this is why the Pasuk says, Vohidatom levonecha ulevenevonecha. You will pass on the Torah to your children and to your grandchildren. And the Gemara says, Ad kan rachmei ho'ov ala ben. This is the extent of the kindness of a father to a son. That it's not just father to son, but even grandfather to son. There's a deep connection over there. Ki hasogois ha-Torah shehi b'chinas rachamim, because a true understanding of Torah, which is synonymous with rachamim, kindness, ki horachamim todoi bedas, kamay shekosav Rabbeinu kama pomim, because Rabbeinu Zal tells us in many places in the Kutumran that rachmonus is dependent on das. Rachmim and das go together. If a person doesn't have any das, he can take a one-year-old baby and give him a thick steak and kill him, you know, and say, oh, I wanted him to have a delicious meal. I was enjoying my steak so much, so I wanted the kid to enjoy it too, you know, chas v'shalom. So Rabbeinu Zal shows a few reasons why these two always go together, rachmim and das. So there the Gemara says, ad kan rachmei ho'ov ala ben, that the rachmonis is three generations, grandfather, father, and son, and the das of Torah, the transmission of Torah, is also three generations. So Rav Nosal says, "He mishtalsheles mebechinas hazokein." It spirals down from its source, which is called zokein, shubechinas atik, the level that's called atik, ad ben aben, and it reaches down two levels to the grandson. Baruch Hashem, this is Halacha Aleph. Interesting that we're living at a time now, Bali Ayin Hara, those that had parents and grandparents that went through the Holocaust, there are many Jews that never knew what it is to have grandparents. But Baruch Hashem, since then, Bali Ayin Hara, today, Kanayin Hara, the Jews are going through a different phase where Bali Ayin Hara, most of our children, or many of us even, are zeichet that we did get to see grandparents. And in some cases, even great-grandparents. It's a very big privilege for a person to be zoche, to have a grandparent. And the grandparents need to know that it's their privilege, one of their most important privileges, to teach Torah or to help pay that their children and grandchildren, Mitzvah Shem, should be zoche to learn Torah. There are many, again, Hashgacha, I was just in New York a few weeks ago and was with a close friend who happens to be an attorney. Not talking about a garbage cleaner or a rabbi in a kollel. We're talking about an attorney, a real live attorney, and he does work. And he was saying that his salary, as you know, what he earns supports the family, but there's no way in the world it can also cover the tuition. And if were it not for the fact that his father helps out on that, which means the grandparent chips in and helps the tuition bill, you know, he doesn't know how he would do it. So I'm saying these are the norms, some norms of society today. In Eretz Yisrael, we still have a socialized education. So in most learning institutions in Eretz Yisrael, the education is not expensive. But lahavdil in Chutz Laaretz, from what I understand, in places like New York today, standard tuition for a kid in first grade or pre-1A even, first grade or eighth grade or 11th grade, is approximately $15,000 per child per year. That's normal. That's not, there are places where it's more than that, and there are places where it could be less than that. That's the standard. Should be zeichet to have the kemach and the Torah, the ashirus and the izboinenus ha-Torah, mitzvah Shem.